We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Monday. It's January 29th. It is 2024. We have 11 NBA games to talk about here on today's podcast. Big slate here on Monday. Joined today by my good buddy Will Priester, Chief Justice 06. Chief, what's happening, my friend?
Nothing much, brother. Glad to come on. Glad to talk with you. And I just realized I am not in uniform. I'm just messing up here, so let me join the party live while this is all going down and get my RG cap on so we can be in sync for this podcast.
I thought you were going to throw a Hattie B's hat on and start Monday off the right way.
Well, listen, hopefully if we get our annual time together, me, you, and Noto in Nashville, we can run by Hattie B's and purchase our annual Hattie B's hat along with sweating some college basketball. But I don't think we'll be able to do that this year because by the time we make it, it may be over. But I'm still looking forward to it whenever we can, us three guys can get together. It's always fantastic.
Always fun, my friend. Always fun. Appreciate you and Keith filling in for me on Friday. Had a good time, got invited to a concert, and just had a great time. So ready to get back on the grind here, and let's have some fun. We got NASCAR this weekend. I'm so excited. We got some NASCAR on Sunday, so Clash gets started. Then we got the big game the weekend after that, and then the Daytona 500 week. So NASCAR is back. Super pumped about that, and ready to jump into a massive 11-game slate here. What's up, YouTube? Yeah. Hope everyone's having a great Sunday night. We got the Knicks and the Hornets, 224.5 total in this one. Knicks, a 5-point favorite. We got Randall out with Mitch Robb still out as well. And on the Charlotte side, Hayward and Williams out. Ball and Nick Lachina are both questionable. Let's go Knicks first. Obviously, one of the biggest news parts on the slate is Julius Randle being out for this game. You know, we have Jalen Brunson at 9,300. Great matchup here for him. Great matchup for Hartenstein at 6,900. His minutes have been down a little bit. He came back and he only played 16 minutes after getting hurt and missing a week. I assume that we see a much bigger role for him, but I think my favorite play from the Knicks today is going to be Precious at 5,200 with no Julius Randle.
Yeah, for sure, Stevie. I think they have a couple pieces that, you know, we can deploy. I'm with you on Precious, like, no brainer. But OG's still cheap enough, I think, Stevie, to hit some ceiling. Like, you know, a 40-point game out of him, I don't think it's out of the cards. You got Hart here. You know, a 35-point game, fantasy points, let me say that, fantasy points to be specific. 35 fantasy-point game from him isn't out of the cards. Definitely, you know, 40 for Hartenstein isn't out of the cards. And then, you know, you've got the guy that should be leading the charge in Jalen Brunson. You know, a 50 to 60-point game isn't out of the cards for him. I mean, the Knicks get Charlotte, man. And I do think their defense may take a small hit with Randle out. But they're going to make up for it with offense in this particular game. Charlotte's been dreadful. Guys have been out and hurt. And we're just a very lackluster team. We already know Kyle Lowry isn't going to play at all, like, prior to the trade deadline. They're trying to move him. So we're just not looking good. And the Knicks should, I mean, Stevie, be able to score some points in this game. Whether they win, TBD, because – losing Randle is big, but they got enough guys, man, to really hit some nice fantasy scores here.
The other person I want to bring up for large field tournament stuff is Quentin Grimes at 3,700. He's someone that sees a huge increase in usage when Julius Randle's off the floor. So I don't know if necessarily going to matter too much because I don't assume he'll start here. But I do think that you could take some shots on Grimes in large field tournaments. Out on Jericho Sims, Josh Hart, I think, would get extra run potentially in this game, but
definitely love Hart. Definitely.
Yeah, not playing Jericho Sims. Charlotte side of this game, I mean, this slate really depends on what's going on here with LaMelo Ball, if he's going to play or not. He's dealing with some ankle soreness, only played 23 minutes on Friday against Houston. Just the last couple of games for him, his shot has been off a little bit. The minutes kind of down a little bit. I mean, I don't know if I want to play Ball. Brandon Miller's price is caught up. Miles Bridges is expensive, but he does have 50-point upside. I think the guy that I'm, like, the most interested to play here is Nick Richards, of all people. I think this is a good double-double spot, and he's someone that can add some stocks as well here at 5,600.
Yeah, for sure. I like Nick Richards, Stevie. You get no argument from me. You know, he's a guy that ended up playing over the weekend or something. I mean, he had a monster against Utah, had a monster game. Definitely think this is another good spot for him. As long as Mark Williams is out, you know, he's getting, you know, around 30 minutes, Stevie, I have no problem, you know, placing him into lineups. The LaMelo news is big. We saw, you know, Miles Bridges play huge minutes, like huge. He's already been playing huge minutes anyway. But with Terry gone and Lowry not playing and Gordon Hayward still not playing. Martin, like, we've just got so many injuries, Stevie. Like, guys are just playing massive minutes. The main pieces. I will say, Ish Smith played 30 minutes against Utah in that last game. Now, he didn't score any points. He had 12 assists. He's not gonna have 12 assists again, but I still think that's a reasonable price if he's gonna play 30 minutes. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I think. When you're looking at the, you know, Charlotte side of this game, just in general, if Ball sits, I think Ish becomes a fantastic value play. Outside of that, I mean, if Ball plays in this game, I don't have a ton of interest in Charlotte. Outside of, like I said, I have a little bit of interest in Richards. I think PJ Washington's in a good spot here with Julius Randle out as well. So maybe I'm looking at the two bigs here for Charlotte. Not getting too excited about playing your Hornets. They're kind of ugly right now.
Yeah.
We got bad Clippers. Team. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah, it's a bad team.
Yeah, they got a lot of rebuilding to do. We got Clippers and Cavs, 225.5 total in this game. Clippers a 2-point favorite. Zubac is still out. Garland out. Mobley questionable. So we've been reading that he's been expected to be cleared to play this game. So they did say 6 to 8 weeks, and we're right on that timetable. It's been almost 2 months for him, so right at that 8-week mark. I don't know. We'll talk about it when we get to the other side, but I don't know how much we expect him to play if he does get cleared to play in this game. But we'll talk about it when we get to the Cavs side. Let's start with here with the Clippers side. I mean, the big three just kind of keep doing their thing. You know, we see any given night, it can be any of these three guys. They all have 60-plus point upside. They all can score 25 to 30 each night, but it seems like they all have that upside to potentially get there. If you're playing like 20 entry max, I think you put them in a pool and you play 0-2. If you're playing single entry teams, I don't know if I'd play any of these three guys in a single entry contest on a slate like this with 11 games and a tough matchup against Cleveland. But if you're playing, I think if you're playing anything over like five teams, you have to have exposure to all three of these guys. They're just consistently showing ceiling. Daniel Tice had a really good game the other night against Boston. I don't know if I would necessarily want to chase that.
Revenge.
Yeah. You got to love it, right? But what are your thoughts when it comes to the Clippers here?
I'm not thrilled about this game in general, but I think, Steven, this is something, we've had to do this. It feels like a lot this season. Big three, I'm with you. Put them in a group. And that's how you play them, because one could get 60, the other two could end up in the mid-30s. Two could end up in the mid-40s. One ends up in the high-30s. Like, you're not completely sure, but they've all been playing well, and I think that's exactly how you handle it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Don't get him with the yawn, Will. Don't get me yawning. I'm already.
So I thought tired. I played it off pretty well.
Did. Yeah. I mean, I got those ears. I was at the 24-hour race late last night, so I'm a little sluggish and ready for sleep. Cleveland side of this game. I mean, again, like Mitchell. It sounds like Mitchell's going to play. He's probable. So I don't think we're necessarily worrying about that. Evan Mobley. Expected to get cleared. I mean, what we heard for Bickerstaff here was it would be a low 20-minute workload. He's 7,400. 20 minutes isn't going to do it, but 20 minutes enough for you to get off of Jaren Allen here at 7,700, I think, is the biggest question.
It's close. The thing is, Stevie, Jared Allen's playing, he's probably still going to play 35 minutes because it's not like they trade positions. They start together. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to play 20 minutes, Allen's still playing mid-30s, I don't think it's enough yet. But I think we're close to the point where, you know, Mobley comes back, and if by the end of the week he's playing 28 minutes, like now we're probably getting close to hopping off the train, I think.
I think the biggest thing for me, like you said, they do play together. The biggest thing for me is like Jared Allen's rebounding goes way down when he is playing on the court at the same time as Evan Mobley. And like that, I think, is the most overlooked thing here. Cause like if he scores 10 to 15 actual points and only grabs 8 boards, that's not enough at 7,700. He needs to get that like double double bonus. He needs to really perform here. But I mean, if we're looking at it, he gets a huge downgrade in rebounding rates. So with Mobley and Allen playing on the floor together, he's averaging 6.3 rebounds, or no, 10.1 rebounds per game per 36 minutes. So 10.1, and then like if we take Evan Mobley off the floor, Jared Allen is averaging almost 12 and a half rebounds per 36 minutes. So, it's 13.1. Kordak U is taking. So we're looking at 3 rebounds per 36 minutes. Again, 20 minutes. So we're still probably losing a rebound and a half to 2 rebounds here on average. So it's just tough for me. You look at the beginning of the season, Jared Allen was having good games. He just wasn't getting the double doubles. His minutes were kind of all over the place. He's been playing fantastic. I don't think he loses his role yet, but I do think eventually like he will be in that like 28 to 32 minute instead of the 35 minute role. I don't necessarily love the matchup for him in this game anyway.
Yeah.
But it would be an ownership thing. If he's really low owned, maybe I take some shots, but honestly, I just don't have a ton of interest in the Cavs in this game at all. Donovan Mitchell would be my favorite play, but I don't want to pay 9,700 for him on an 11 game slate.
Yeah, this game, at least out of the early few, is probably about as close to a throwaway as we're going to get.
I mean, LeVert's price is somewhat appealing because we know LeVert, like, if he does have that game, he gets that, like, 30 to 35-minute run. You know, does he get his minutes back here? You know, he missed a week. He came back. He played 28. He played 24. He got in some foul trouble in that game against Milwaukee the other night. Do we see him play 32 minutes at 5,600? I think LeVert is someone you could take some shots on in tournaments here because I think his minutes just overall go up here as long as he stays out of foul trouble. And we see him closer to his 30 minutes for sure.
Yep.
All right, we got New Orleans at Boston, 232 total here. Boston 8-point favorite. New Orleans good to go. Horford and Porzingis questionable, Cornette doubtful for Boston. Let's start with the Pelicans. What do you like here for New Orleans?
Tough spot, man. I feel like I want to fade New Orleans today. Like, Boston's been a tough team, and yeah, I know, you know, they're coming off of an interesting loss, Stevie, but every team's going to lose a game or two, and they were playing the Clippers, which is also a tough team, Stevie. So I'm out on the Pelicans today. They're cheap enough. Like some of the main guys, like Zion, the 7,300, he's probably still okay. But I'm willing to fade them against the Boston Celtics with Boston at home.
If you could tell me right now that Valanciunas was going to play 30 minutes in this game, I'd have a ton of interest in him because Boston's dealing with some injuries with the bigs. So he's just not like they get Herb Jones minutes, they get Larry Nance minutes, like. There's just not 30 minutes for Valanciunas right now. So for me on New Orleans, large field tournament stuff, I think you could take some shots on Brandon Ingram at 7,500. Even in this tough matchup, Brandon Ingram is someone that has a big upside at this price point. I like McCollum in better matchups. I think this matchup might be a matchup I stay away from McCollum.
I do feel like they gave us dynamic pricing on the Pelicans.
They did. I mean, the pricing is like, if we're just looking like overall and we're looking at like CJ McCollum, like his price point is really interesting with the people on the slate that are priced around him. So
yeah,
it's tough because the pricing is great, but it's also a tough matchup. Going to the Boston side here, I mean, Cornette doubtful, Horford questionable, Porzingis questionable. I don't know what to expect here when it comes to Boston, because I mean, like, we're at least going to get 20 to 25 Valanciunas minutes. They need someone to play the big here. I just don't know if someone like Brissett is going to be able to play against someone like Valanciunas. That's why I said I would be really interested in Valanciunas here. I know they have Lamar Stevens that they use sometimes for minutes, but what are we doing with the Celtics here?
Yeah, I definitely think for me, Steve, this is one of the first times like I feel like Jason Tatum, despite, you know, let's call it semi-tough matchup, man, at 9,200, this is about as fair as we're going to get on him. Like, he's a favorite tournament play for me today, despite what happens. Jaylen Brown, we're getting him under 8K for a change. I don't hate that price on him either. And we've been talking about Derek White, who at 6,700 is probably slightly overpriced. He probably needs to be back down around that $6,300 range, I would say, $6,364. But I'm willing to roll the dice if Porzingis sits. But I think Tatum at 9,200, Steve, that feels a little bit too cheap to me for a guy that can get 50 to 60 fantasy points if he's rolling even moderately good. So I like him a ton.
Yeah, I mean, Tatum, Brown's price is really interesting now under 8K. I have more interest in Jaylen Brown if Porzingis ends up sitting in this game. I think he is someone you could take some shots on here. I think Derek White's price is kind of appropriate. So it's Tatum and Brown for me on Boston. We got Utah at Brooklyn, 232.5 total in this game. Brooklyn a 1-point favorite. Utah good to go. Sharp and Finney Smith out for Brooklyn. Ben Simmons probable. I made sure to mark that down because he's been out so long. Go Utah first here. What do we like for the Jazz?
Yeah, man. I mean, you got Markin at 8,200. I know it's a spot against Brooklyn, but I mean, he's been the catalyst that's been helping this team go. Stevie, minutes have been there. Has been flashing upside. So I don't hate Lauri Markkanen. I think probably Sexton has this interesting role now, Stevie, where he's playing 30-plus minutes. But I think the price has caught up. But he still had just some interesting upside, Stevie. Like, I mean, we saw him put up 40 against Houston, almost 40 against the Pelicans. You know, 45 against OKC, and all of those are reasonably good teams. So I think Colin Sexton is an interesting play today for what it's worth with the minutes that he's getting. John Collins, his minutes have come back up, Stevie, and with his minutes increase, you know, over the past couple of games, has also been more production. So at 5,900, I don't hate playing him. You know, we're seeing Fontecchio get interesting minutes, but, you know, his upside isn't completely there. You just kind of have to throw the Hornets game out for Kelly Olynyk. He didn't get a lot of minutes, only took two shots, Steve. He had 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 points in 18 minutes. By the way, he had, I think, 2, 5, 6, and 8 or 7 or something like that in 12 minutes. Just, God, the Hornets are so bad. Sorry, didn't mean to hijack that about the Hornets, but I think those are my main pieces from Utah. I know Clarkson, you know, was playing well for a while. I still like his minutes. I still think the upside is there, but I don't think I have to take it against Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Chris Dunn, like, do a lot with a little bit of minutes that he's been getting. Kelly Olynyk's been doing a lot with a little bit of minutes he's been getting. I think the one thing that might just go a little overlooked on this slate is how important Finney Smith is going to be missing this game. Brooklyn is not a terrible defensive team, but like Finney Smith is one of the better defenders on this team. So I think Markkanen gets a bump in this matchup and 8,200 might not be enough. So he's my primary target, but I also have some interest in John Collins. Gosh, I don't know, but yeah, let's go to the Brooklyn side. No Finney Smith. He's going to miss a game here. Johnson, didn't he miss over the weekend as well? Had a personal.
Yeah, like, Johnson was out. That's why Cam Thomas started and went.
Yep. Cam Thomas, big game the other night. He played 40 minutes at 37 actual points. Let's talk about Brooklyn here. I don't assume Ben Simmons starts. I assume that he'll be on a minutes limit. And, I mean, they were already limiting him when he was playing back to start the season, and then they kind of opened him up a little bit. But I think he's on a minutes limit here unless we get something saying he's not. And then I mean, it's interesting who will start for Finney Smith, whether it be Johnson or Thomas. What do you like here for Brooklyn?
Yeah, man, I think that it's very interesting because this matchup with Utah is actually really good. So is Ben Simmons going to impact Nick Claxton for me, Stevie, is the question, even if he only plays 20 minutes. Because, you know, they had Ben in this weird center-type role, whatever they were doing with him when he was playing. And so, you know, we have been getting Claxton mid to upper 30s. I think in tournaments we can still roll Claxton out here with the Ben Simmons coming back, with Ben Simmons coming back and that news looming, and maybe take advantage of — it's a big slate anyway, so I don't think Claxton's going to get a whole lot of ownership, but take advantage of them people possibly kind of not playing Claxton at all. Like, he's been showing some nice upside. So I like him. I don't hate Cam Johnson. I feel like Cam Johnson may take a hit more than Claxton, but we'll see.
They could start Royce and O'Neal in this game too. For Finney Smith.
They could. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not saying I'd play Royce O'Neal, but I mean, he could start in this game and pick up 25 plus minutes. But I think if you're looking at Brooklyn, I don't think Simmons hurts Claxton. I think with Sharp out, we keep firing Claxton, 6,900. Keep playing him. I mean, that's my philosophy with him. And I want to see, like, what is Cam Thomas earn, like, the minutes here to, like, draw a start with Finney Smith out. Because if Cam Thomas is going to start this game and play around 30 minutes, I mean, this is a guy that's gone over 39 fantasy points in three of his last five games. He's 6K, and he gets an up-paced matchup here against Utah. So I have interest in Thomas here.
Yeah.
All right, we got Phoenix at Miami. No total in this game. Back-to-back for Phoenix. Nobody on the injury report for Miami. On the Phoenix side, Nurkic missed Sunday's game against my Magic with a thumb sprain, so we'll see if he's back or not. Let's go Phoenix here first. What do you like here for Phoenix?
Like the big three, but Devin Booker at 9,800, I think that's a little bit too expensive, Stevie. He gets the fade. Bradley Beal is 6,800. I don't hate that at all. Now, I feel like he has the least amount of upside out of this group, but I get it. We've got Kevin Durant at 9,500. Just okay, Stevie, but I think I'm fading this team today because I do think Miami plays slow enough. Miami is at home. I think it can limit their upside. Once again, understand the game could be competitive, and if it's competitive, it won't matter. Guys are going to get there. But I'm willing to cut off some of the fat on this slate, and I think this situation with Phoenix and the game in general is one of the places I want to do it.
Devin Booker is just he's playing really good basketball right now. Like we saw him against the Magic, this is the third straight game he's put up 40 actual points. He's shooting a ton. I think it's hard to overlook him right now, but also the price is caught up. So I think that if he's going to get some ownership here, maybe we jump off of it. But Magic just shut down Phoenix in the fourth quarter on Sunday. They just absolutely shut them down. It was a really competitive game and just absolutely crushed them in the fourth quarter. And like, again, the Magic, they're getting healthier, so their defense is getting better. I think they only allowed like 3 or 4 3-pointers by Phoenix in that entire game. So yeah, I just, for me, if Nurkic sits, Eubanks played 29 minutes against the Magic on Sunday. Maybe we could take some shots on Eubanks at 4,500, depending on like what value opens up throughout the day. He's not a high fantasy point per minute producer, but if he can maybe score a couple extra points here, but they're going to need somebody with size against Bam, and I think Eubanks will play 30-ish minutes in this game. So on the Miami side, it's crowded, right? We're still kind of seeing how this dynamic is going to work with Terry Rozier. Like, Terry Rozier is not Kyle Lowry. He's going to eat into some usage for Butler. He's going to eat in some usage for Hero. We've already saw Hero just kind of take a little bit of a hit. But I think I'm out on all of these guys for Miami until we see how this dynamic is going to work with Terry Rozier in the fold.
Yeah, man. And it's interesting, Stevie, because, you know, when Terry went there, we're like, well, you know, they're getting another 20-point-per-game score, but, you know, they already had a couple guys that were doing it. And so,
well, Jacquez is back, too. It's just a lot of mouths to feed. Yeah.
So I don't know who we can play. I feel like the one guy that feels, dare we say, most safe is Bam, because he's just going to have so many extra opportunities to get there because of some of his rebounding games. I do still think this is Jimmy Butler's team, but even Jimmy, Stevie, I think is going to take a hit. Like, you know, outside of the game against the Knicks the other night, I mean, the most shots he had taken in the past couple of games was 11 shots. And so I think with all those guys, they just got players, and I think they've got to figure it out. Once again, Steve, this is another reason why this game is a scratch-off for me. I just too many weird things are going on, and I think we've got some really nice upside matchups outside of the slate, like New York, Charlotte, like Utah playing Brooklyn. I feel like I have to play Phoenix, Miami in a slow-paced game with six or seven guys you can play for one team and not know where the upside is going to come from.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing here is, like, when we're looking at court IQ with Terry Rozier on the floor, no one is averaging more than 1.2 fantasy points per minute. So we're seeing dips, and we're seeing point differential drop here. So I think Miami as a basketball team, Terry Rozier is a great ad. Miami as a DFS betting team, they're going to – I mean, I might look at some unders in this game for Miami tomorrow. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, let's hope they come in a little inflated and we can ride it to the mic.
All right, we got Sacramento at Memphis, 226.5 total here. Kings, an 8-point favorite. Memphis on the second end of a back-to-back. Luke Kennard did not play on Sunday. We'll see if he's back or not. And Derrick Rose missed Sunday's game as well. And then, I mean, the long list of everybody that's been out for Memphis is still out. Let's go Kings here first. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, Harrison Barnes is tilting me. I keep betting his point under because, like, I just don't believe in Harrison Barnes to keep doing what he's doing. And he keeps laughing at me. I'm actually pulling it up right now because I'm interested to see if it's up yet. It's not up yet, but there's a good chance.
I'm about to hop on this under with you, right? Give us 17.5.
Please. It was 16.5 against Dallas, and he had 3 or 4 points at halftime, and I'm like, all right, this is more Harrison Barnes. And then he proceeded to have a big third quarter. So, Stevie, listen, I'm on
17.5.
Yeah.
Give it to us, please. We're going to hammer. And they're getting Memphis, so it's not like they shouldn't expect them to have another nice game. And we're going to see him flame out, Stevie. Flame out.
I mean, I'm going to keep doing it. If you want to play him in DFS, I don't hate the $4,800 price tag if you think he's going to keep producing.
Stevie, 3 games ago, he scored 4 fantasy
points. I know.
5 games ago, he scored 16 fantasy points. 6 games ago, he scored 19 fantasy points. Yeah. 7 games ago, he scored 8 fantasy points. I am not buying that Harrison Barnes is suddenly dominating the NBA. Stop it.
Listen, Will, I know it's Sunday, but you're preaching to the choir, my friend. I just know you don't have to sell me on the under. I've been betting it, and it hasn't been working. But guess what? I'm going right back to it here. As far as this team overall, Kevin Huerter at 5,200 is someone that I don't mind taking some shots on here. He's been adding some steals and assists and rebounding. I think overall, Kevin Huerter, I'd much rather take shots on Kevin Huerter than Harrison Barnes, for what it's worth.
He's also been burning me because I've been taking his unders all year. Now he wants to be Michael Jordan.
Yeah, everybody wants to be Michael Jordan. Those black Jordans. Oh, such good shoes. All right, or red Jordans. Why did I say black Jordans? Red Jordans. Gosh, those. Well, I can't even think the number of them right now, but that's like the suede ones. Those are like my favorite Jordans. Anyway. What do you like here for the Kings?
Yeah, man. Because it's Memphis, Stevie, like, I really want to play De'Aaron Fox. But at the same time, I don't want to play De'Aaron Fox. This game could get out of hand pretty quickly if this team shows up to play. Like, Sabonis is 10-2, and I do like this spot, Steve, because they could absolutely dominate here. But you know, the price of Sabonis, I'm probably more willing to play Fox, excuse me. That's the bonus because of the price. I may even be more willing to play, like you talked about, Kevin Huerter. I do think one of these guys, one of the two big guys, is going to have a nice game. I don't know which one, but I think we should put them in a group and split them. I know Keegan Murray is falling off slightly. And when I say slightly, I'm saying because Harrison Barnes is now, you know, going back to the fountain of youth. But Keegan Murray might be my favorite play in this game against Memphis. If he has a good game, if he was ever going to have another big game soon, got to be this one, a really soft defensive matchup with all those bodies missing.
Jordan sixes. I don't know why I was mind blanking there, but Jordan sixes, those are the ones that I really like. Yep. I like the Space Jam shoes too. The Jordan Space Jams, Jordans.
Yeah. I think those are the tennis.
Listen, all Jordan shoes. Okay, not all of them, but most of the Jordan shoes. I like his style. Memphis five, or it says the Bull fives. Maybe that's what it is. 11s. Which ones are the, or is 11s the Space Jam ones?
Yeah. 11. Sorry, you're right, Josh. You're right. Tens are the ones.
Don't get me sidetracked on Jordans. We'll be here all night. So yeah, Let's go to Memphis in this game. what do we like here on the Memphis side?
Not much, but once again, they are so cheap, Stevie. If Contra's going to get 30 minutes again, because you know they got all these weird injuries, like sign me up. If Luke Kennard sits again, like Contra's going to play big minutes, he would need to be played. Another guy that's been playing interesting minutes in blowouts is Zaire Williams. I do think this is going to be a blowout, Stevie. Zaire Williams to me is like a sneaky blowout play only deep tournament stuff. But if they get blown out, he's going to play the rest of the game. Like, they're just going to play him and he's going to be fine. GG Jackson is probably another slight blowout candidate at 4,200. And that's about it. Well, and David Roddy, as you can see, Stevie, we're pretty much playing blowout narrative here. All the cheap 4K guys that won't play much in a real game situation, but will play almost all the minutes on the back end, because as we can see, they don't plan to play Xavier Tillman big minutes. He's just out there collecting the check. Well, he has been injured, but you get what I'm saying.
I'm not gonna tell you who it is, but I'm gonna tell you right now that my Let's Get Weird GPP play is from Memphis. So there you go. I will say that. But I think if Triple J can stay out of foul trouble in this game, he has big upside, and that's just about every game for him. But he's just a guy that, like, he's just filling up the stat sheet so much right now, yeah, that in close games where he gets that extra run, he has that 50, 60 plus point upside. So don't mind taking some shots here on Triple J. And I wanted to see, like, Luke Kennard news matters to me.
It does.
Like, it matters quite a bit. So watch that Luke Kennard news. I mean, it's never sexy to play John Concher, but if Luke Kennard continues to sit, John Concher is going to continue to play 30 minutes. So
yeah.
Watch that news here for Memphis. Up next, we got Washington at San Antonio. 241.5 total here. San Antonio, 4-point favorite. Livers out for Washington. Basti out. Collins questionable for San Antonio. Let's start here with the Washington side. What do you like here for Washington?
This is a good game, Stevie. I wish I'm even willing to play Jordan Poole here, Stevie, at 5,800. I think this might be the game stack of the day, I think, for me. Just pricing and flexibility and matchup, Stevie. I love this spot. We've got Daniel Gafford. 6K has come back, Stevie. We've already seen the upside of the game's tight. Looks like we're going to get 30 minutes out of him. He goes into the pool. We've got Kyle Kuzma. He's 7,900. If this game is close, Stevie, we can get some upside out of him. You know, 45 to 50, I take it. He goes in the pool. I don't hate Denny. I know everybody's not going to hit upside. If I had to squeeze one guy out right now, it's probably Denny out of this top tier group. But Jordan Poole, Kuzma, and Gafford are probably my favorites. I do think, you know, Tyus Jones versus Trey Jones, the band of brothers, I do think Tyus Jones is okay. But I would actually rank him behind Jordan Poole only because of the pricing today.
Jordan Poole has to be one of the most disappointing players coming into the season. We were all talking about how he's just going to got to be the guy here with Kuzma. He has not been anything near. Like, Tyus Jones has been just absolutely fantastic compared to Jordan Poole. So,
yeah.
I like Kuzma in this game. I think that Kuzma has some upside. I don't necessarily hate taking some shots on maybe like Denny here. Can we play it like, can we play a little bit of the narrative that Gafford gets in foul trouble against Wimby and Bagley plays 25 minutes off the bench here at 5K and absolutely smashes? Like, I think I might take some shots here on Marvin Bagley today against San Antonio for large field tournament stuff, because I'll probably end up, you know, taking some shots on Gafford as well. But man, I love the narrative of Gafford getting into foul trouble against Bagley and Bagley smashing in this spot. And yeah, Bagley's cheap enough too that you, even if like Bagley gets 20 minutes in this game with the usage that he gets on that second unit, like he probably gets close to getting there. But man, if he gets that extra run, I mean, I just think this is a fun narrative to play some in tournaments here. But
yeah, love that.
Hard not to love this game. I mean, just not, hard not to love this game just overall on the San Antonio side. Wimby's minutes, he's back in that 30 minute range.
On the rise, brother. On yeah, the rise.
I mean, he's fantastic. This whole game is fantastic. You kind of mentioned that like this is a very, very stackable game. What do we like here on the Spurs side?
Yeah, man, give me all the Victor Wembanyama I can handle. All I need is 30 minutes, Stevie, or all I needed was him to start getting close. Like at one point, Stevie, he was playing 23 minutes. And people are still playing him, and I get it. Stevie, 30 minutes for Wimby? It's a beautiful thing. So I'll take it. Stevie, 30 minutes for Wimby against Washington. Oh, my goodness. Now, this absolutely means he's going to go out and score 15 fantasy points. But the spot suggests that another 50-plus fantasy point game is on the way. Love Victor Wembanyama on this particular slate. You've got Trey Jones at 5,800, Stevie. I don't hate him, not because he's facing Tyus, but because he's facing the dreadful Washington Wizards defense, who is still last or next to last in the league in terms of defensive efficiency. I think Charlotte might actually be the worst team now that so many of those guys are out, but they're still back three. No doubt about it. So love him. Keldon Johnson in this spot, Stevie, has me interested. 5,900, playing about 30 minutes, close to 30 minutes, coming off the bench. I think Keldon could be in a spot to dominate here, so I like him a ton.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Trey Jones' assist rate continues to be really solid. His assist opportunities continue to be great since he started, since he's in the starting lineup. Have to like this spot for him, but I think you like him more on the prop side of things than you do in the DFS side. 5,800 is a tough price tag to pay for him, but I mean, great spot for San Antonio. So,
against Washington, you think?
Who?
I said, even against Washington?
Jones?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think he's playable. It's just he did put up 46 fantasy points the last time these two teams met. Like, he almost had a triple-double. So, like, his ceiling is there. The pace of this game definitely opens up opportunities for him. So I get the love. I do. It's just, I don't know.
This is the San Antonio Spurs.
No, it's more of like we were just paying for him like in the low fives, so it's like still adjusting to like him being almost 6K now.
I get it.
He's hit 6X at this price point one time in the last five games, and it was against Washington. So there you go. obviously, what happened before can happen again. Minnesota at OKC, 226 total in this game. Thunder, 2-point favorite. They're on a back-to-back. We'll wait on an injury report for them. Mike Conley's questionable for Minnesota. I didn't see anything come out of the OKC game as far as injury-wise. They played Detroit. They lost to Detroit in that game. So maybe they come out hungry here, and we see a much better game from them. But let's start with Minnesota. Any interest here in the Timberwolves?
I don't hate Rudy Gobert, Stevie. This is another one of the worst rebounding teams in the league. And while Gobert may not put up 50 every game, Stevie, you just have to keep taking him in those upside spots. This is an upside spot. Like him a ton in this particular game. I also don't hate Anthony Edwards. Like, this game should be competitive, Stevie. He's 8,500. We saw the ceiling against the Spurs. We usually see the ceiling against the Spurs against anyone. So, of course, you know, that's that. We do have Mike Conley, who's actually been out a couple games, Stevie, I think, or at least sat, you know, a couple games. Yeah, he sat a couple games in between that start on the 25th. And so we need to see what's going to happen there, because if he's out, then we're going to get Nikhil Alexander-Walker playing more minutes at 4,500. And he's played fairly well, Stevie. In no small stints there, lasting 30 fantasy points. So I like him as well, and that's kind of where I want to plant my flag. But I'll only be playing Nikhil Alexander-Walker if Mike Conley is out.
Yeah, I'm with you on if he's out. But gosh, Alexander-Walker is someone that I hate playing in DFS. He just stands on the court and does nothing so much. And like, he's 4,500 now. When he was 3,500, 22, 23 fantasy points didn't kill you. OKC is still a good defensive team. My favorite play today from Minnesota is Rudy Gobert. I mean, OKC just can't rebound. We saw what Durant had, like 21 rebounds against his team on Sunday. So
yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
So yeah, I mean, I like Gobert. I don't mind Edwards. I wish he was a little bit cheaper, but his assist rate being up lately is really huge. So kind of watching how Edwards' assist rate has gone up, because like forever, it was just like Edwards is just a scorer and he needs 40 to get their actual points. But if he's going to get 6 to 8 assists and grab a few rebounds and stuff, like his ceiling becomes so much higher. Thunder side, they played terrible on Sunday. They got plenty of rest coming in this game. Detroit beat up on them. What do we like here for the Thunder?
Yeah, give me SGA, and more SGA. His sidekick, Jalen Williams, has been playing well overall, Stevie. But overall for him in real life hasn't always translated to big fantasy performances. And against Minnesota, which essentially should be a tough team, I'm not thrilled about firing up this team, but I feel very comfortable with SGA, a guy that has proven that he can continue to score with the best of them. Stevie, you said they got smoked by Detroit, right? They did. Don't worry. SGA still scored 31 real points, 44 fantasy points. This man is a machine, Stevie. 30-plus almost every game, even against a tough Minnesota team. I think we can always roll him out in tournaments.
Yeah, I think he's the only person that I'd actually take shots on here. Yep. SGA or nothing for me on the Thunder today.
You got it.
All right, Lakers at Houston, no total in this game because we actually have legit question marks here on the Lakers side. So we probably won't get a total in this game until we get more clarification on what's going on with the Lakers. But AD and LeBron questionable, Redditch and Vincent out, Eason out for Houston. I honestly think that like both of these guys are legitimately questionable here. So we'll see. Like,
you know, they played double OT over the weekend.
Yeah, I do. Okay. Like, because okay. I had Russell's point prop and it was like, are you going to get there? So huge minutes against the Warriors on Saturday. I would not be shocked if both guys sit. Like, LeBron played 48 and I think AD was at 45. So I wouldn't be shocked if they both sit. I honestly wouldn't be shocked if they both play. So it's tough. Kind of, it's still like we're still pre All-Star break, so it's not like you are wanting to go out and get your guys banged up this early in the year. And I mean, the Lakers are in a pretty good spot. This game, I mean, it matters, but doesn't matter this early in the season, kind of thing. So I wouldn't be shocked if they sit. If they both play, probably out on the Lakers just in general. But if they sit, oh my gosh, we're gonna have Russell, Vanderbilt, Hachimura, Christian Wood, ton of value potential from the Lakers if both of these guys end up sitting.
Yeah, and Stevie, I think that's, I'm with you. I don't have anything to add. If they play, I'm out. If they don't play, I'm in on everything.
If they both, like if AD plays at 10K, I don't hate it.
I don't know, Steve. Like, man, I've played basketball, and man, a double OT game is so draining, bro. Like it's and look, they did have a day, they will have a day in between, so I get it. But like your legs, Steve, are just not there like the next day at all in terms of like physical activity, you know. And these are some of the best athletes in the world, but you know, they pretty much ran around and played for a full hour, almost nonstop. Nonstop is an exaggeration, but I'm saying while they were out there, they were playing. I think they're going to be lagging for what it's worth.
What do you like here on the Houston side?
For Houston, I mean, I'm back to the well on Sengun, man. He let me down against Charlotte, let me down against Brooklyn, don't care. Like, I think if the minutes are going to creep back up to where he was, 35 to 40 minutes, I'm in there. We've got Jabari Smith to play huge minutes against Utah at 5,800. I don't hate him in terms of, you know, some slight upside. We did see Cam Whitmore play a little bit. You know, he's gotten 20 minutes and then 29 minutes against Brooklyn. They're going to continue to roll him out 20-plus minutes, 25 minutes. I don't hate him. We've been talking about Jalen Green, Stevie, and we have seen a little bit upside because his rebounding has picked up. I don't think that's sustainable for him. That's never really been his game. So I think he's just okay. But Fred VanVleet, 7,500. I know we didn't see it the past two games, but this is a guy, man, that's just been able to, you know, play a lot of minutes, Stevie, and really turn out some nice fantasy performances. He's absolutely my favorite Houston Rocket today.
Yeah, I think Sengun's price is going to keep me off of him a little bit in this spot. I like the VanVleet call here, so I don't hate that necessarily, but, I mean, I'm kind of overall not excited to play too many Houston Rockets in this game. I'd become more interested in Houston if both guys sit for the Lakers, though, because I'd have a lot of exposure to the Lakers and I'd want to be looking to run it back. But VanVleet, my favorite here from Houston. We got Orlando at Dallas. No total in this game. Orlando, second end of a back-to-back. Dallas, no Kyrie. And then Exum, Jones Jr., and Powell are questionable. I did read a report that like Fultz might not play in this game on the second end of a back-to-back, so kind of an injury maintenance thing. So I did read that. And Gary Harris is dealing with a calf, and he ended up sitting out Sunday. He's been out for a while. So let's go Orlando first. What do we like here for the Magic?
Oh, man. Orlando's starting to get weird to me, Stevie, because they've got so many guys playing and so many guys available. I don't mind a Wendell Carter Jr., but that's probably about it. I don't like Paolo at 4,800. Franz at 72, I think is okay. You know, if Fultz sits, like, what are they going to do with Cole Anthony? Are they going to give him more minutes? I don't know. So, you know, the drawback to having a lot of talent, Stevie, you guys haven't figured out who you're going to play with the fringe guys. We know Paolo's getting his minutes. Wagner's getting his minutes. And it feels like Wendell Carter Jr. is going to get minutes. And then everybody else has to play minutes around those guys. It's zapping their fantasy production.
All I'm going to say is something to watch. Jonathan Isaac's minutes are creeping. Jonathan Isaac is a very, very good defender, and they want Jonathan Isaac to play 25 minutes a night. So just keep watching this. I don't know if he even plays on the second end of a back-to-back here or not, but it's something to continue to watch for the Magic. They love his defense, so just watch that. As far as the Magic are for me, they were very quick to keep Wendell Carter Jr. on the bench in that Phoenix win when they were up.
Yeah,
I think you could take some shots on Wendell Carter Jr. here. I think if it's a close game, he plays his minutes in this one. But it's Paolo, it's Franz. I think it's Franz for me in this spot, but I think you can avoid the Magic and be happy. On the Dallas side, tough matchup for Dallas going up against the Magic defense. Luka doesn't care. He doesn't care who's playing defense. What do we like here on the Dallas side?
Yeah, and you see Luka's 11-8, Stevie.
Yeah, that's because he is a machine.
101, 75. Here's the difference, though. If this was Joel Embiid, he'd be 11-1. I don't know what the algorithm is saying about Embiid versus Luka versus Giannis, but they do not want to price Embiid up versus Jokic. And Jokic has been a lot more affordable. What does that have to do with this, Stevie? Absolutely nothing. But I do like Luka at 11-8. If he's going to, you know, continue to run the show like this, I think you just have to continue to fire him up. He is one of the biggest studs on this particular slate outside of the last two that are going to be facing each other tonight. So I like that. I don't hate, and hear me out, I don't hate Josh Green, but it's the Magic. I think the better play would be Tim Hardaway Jr., who absolutely has legit scoring upside if the shots are falling.
Yeah, the thing here is when Luka's out, Hardaway gets a huge bump. When Kyrie's out, it doesn't matter. No one besides Luka on this team averages more than a fantasy point per minute with Kyrie off the floor. Doesn't matter. Luka is a guy that just takes so much of the production. He's averaging 1.78 fantasy points per minute in 949 minutes with Kyrie off the floor this season. Almost 1.8 fantasy points per minute. Just a phenomenal number. He's a phenomenal player. I don't think you touch anything else from Dallas. If you want to play some Luka, we're never going to say not play Luka. Will was running off the numbers. He didn't misspeak. Luka scored 100 fantasy points the other night against Atlanta. Like legit 100. He shot 75% from the field against Atlanta and scored 100 fantasy points. You want to know his ceiling? Well, there you go. He's put up 97 against Phoenix this year. So like, I think I was reading it. I thought I read it earlier that he's gone over 93 times this season, fantasy wise. Like,
stupid, man.
Yeah. You can make an argument that Luka should be that he should be 13K on every slate, and you can't really argue it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, finishing it out with one of the best games on the slate, Milwaukee at Denver. 240.5 total, Denver a 4-point favorite. Nobody on the injury report for either team. We got two full-strength teams going up against each other. We got a fast-paced, high-scoring game. What are we doing here with Milwaukee?
Yeah, man, I mean, give me Giannis here. I'm trying to figure out when Doc Rivers is going to – is he officially on the bench now? Either way, I still like Giannis. I don't hate the price on Middleton at 6,500. That's becoming way more fair, Stevie. And we have to see some upside from him. So, like Middleton at 65. I don't hate Dame at 91. Dame feels like the odd man out, but he just can't be, man. This is a guy that can score 40 real points at the drop of a dime, so – Dame, Middleton, and Giannis for me. And I think that's where I draw the line here, Stevie. I'm okay fading all of the French guys on this team.
Yes. I mean, that's how I feel in this one. I mean, Brook Lopez's minutes have been phenomenal. Does he get pushed off the court in this game? And we see more Bobby Portis potentially. I mean, you could play that route, but I think it's Giannis or Dame. I don't think this is an overthink it spot. We have a lot of value that we've already talked about. We have more potential value with injury news. I don't think you have to overthink this spot for Milwaukee. One of my favorite plays on this slate, Will, is Jamal Murray. Absolutely love being overweight on Jamal and being underweight on Jokic on this slate. Not saying Jokic doesn't smash here. I just think Jamal's price, he is literally $3,000 less, and I think that this is a game he has that 50-plus point upside. We've been talking about point guards against Milwaukee all season. I'm not stopping now. I love Jamal Murray in this spot today.
Yeah, love that call at 8,300. Stevie, playing a little bit of chess there. You know, if you take Murray at 83 and the game's tight and he's the upside guy, he gets 50. Jokic scores 52, and you come out ahead anyway because you've got your flag planted with the right player. So I love that call. But it's him or Jokic. I think these fringe guys, like Michael Porter Jr., he is cheap enough now, Stevie, to where I think you can start taking some shots. Aaron Gordon at 5,600 is probably cheap enough as well. We've talked about this as well, Stevie, which I do think is important as I know we get ready to close the show out. Milwaukee's defense hasn't been the same, which is why we're speculating, or it's come out that probably why the coach got fired anyway. I know he had a run-in with Giannis, whatever, but defensively, they just weren't playing well. And so perhaps Doc Rivers will help fix that defense. Is that today? We don't know. And until I see changes in the defensive efficiency ranking, Steven, give me some tangible information, I'm going to assume they continue to be not as good on defense. And so I don't mind attacking them with Murray, Jokic, and Michael Porter or Aaron Gordon, whose prices have come down tremendously.
Yeah, good buy low spot for Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon if you're in this range and you end up like, this is going to be a fast-paced game. There's going to be some rebounds available for sure. And I don't think Milwaukee's defense is going to change overnight. Like this might be something we're talking about until after the All-Star break with them. So if not all year, I mean, do they have the pieces to make their defense better? That's a question, so. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Will, favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you like here?
We've got a lot of options today, Stevie, but I think I am going to plant my flag with one of the Memphis guys because I think they're slightly too cheap for the spot. Give me Contra at 4,800.
Yeah, don't hate that by any means. So I can get behind him. Who I really like here, I know we didn't necessarily talk about him a ton when we were talking about the Lakers, but Jared Vanderbilt has been absolutely crushing for this team. He's still only 4,300. His role seems to be more and more involved, and it looks like they're getting away from playing Prince more and more. So I like Jared Vanderbilt here at 4,300. I think this is a good price tag for him.
Yeah.
Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
Devin Booker. 9,800.
It's like Booker. I'm going to go KD. 9,500 for KD. And I just think that he's had one or two big games over the last like month and a half. So I'm going to go KD. Favorite 6X play today?
Give me Victor Wembanyama versus the Washington Wizards.
And one of the reasons that like I want to play Jamal Murray instead of Jokic is because I really want to prioritize Wemby today. So I'm with you on that one. My favorite 6X play today is Jamal Murray. Love this spot for him. I think he's going for 50+. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got for us today, Will?
I hope this will be weird enough, Stevie. Initially, I wasn't sure, but I'm going back to the well on someone that I know has had a ton of upside. Give me Fred VanVleet, 7,500 against the Lakers.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to go to Gregory Jackson from Memphis. I said that my play was from that team when we were talking about it. Again, I kind of want to see how some of the news plays out for Memphis, but this guy's been producing. He's been playing really good, and I like his role that he has. So I think we could take some shots here.
Also, Gregory G.G. Jackson from South Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, he's just getting a lot of usage on that second unit, and if that continues, I think that we got to keep taking shots on him.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the betting portion here. Any pick 'em or player props that you like for this slate?
Yes, DB. I'm going to this game here with we've got Tatum at 8.5 rebounds on Prize Picks. This is a guy that I've been taking less than most of the time, and so I'm going to continue to do that again. I want to give you a couple today, Steven. By that, I mean two more. You've got Rudy Gobert at 12.5 rebounds facing the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm actually going to take over. We've just seen OKC just really be ravaged by the rebounding bug. And so I definitely think that a guy like him, like Rudy Gobert, can crash the boards here. This was a little bit more fringe, but I'm playing the no Julius Randle angle, Stevie. We've got OG Anunoby at 4.5 rebounds against the Charlotte Hornets, another team that doesn't rebound well. And now we've got Randle out. I think at 4.5, that's an advantageous number for us.
Yeah, I don't mind that. He's hit that a couple times since coming over, so I don't hate that. You took one of mine that I already bet the Gobert over 12.5 on Hard Rock, but my other one I wrote down too, but my other one that I really like today is Jamal Murray over 24.5 points. We've been talking about it all season. Milwaukee is terrible against point guards. They allow the fifth most fantasy points, and they allow the fifth most points per game to opposing point guards. And Jamal Murray is a high usage point guard. He should crush in this matchup. So really like Jamal Murray over 24.5 points on this slate. Will, any final thoughts before we get out of here, my friend?
Negative, my brother. Glad to come on with you. We made it through a slightly bigger slate than we've been seeing on a Monday, but I think, you know, they didn't play a whole lot of games Sunday because of football, and we came out ready to rock.
I will say I've been waiting, and finally they have – the Knicks and Hornets up on the sports book. I want to see what Quentin Grimes' points come in. I think that is a very interesting angle to play today on the sports books. I think it'd come in 9.5, 8.5, I'm hoping. So if it comes in around that number, I like the over on that. He's going to get a bump with Julius Randle off the floor. We're going to get out of here. Hope everyone has a fantastic Monday. Enjoy the huge NBA slate, and we'll be back tomorrow talking more hoops. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.